Okay, today is April 21st, 2014. And this is the intermediate Pali class. And we're doing a new course in reading Pali. Okay, we do one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Hi, Tian. Okay. And where is Sagara?
She'll be coming back later.
Coming back later?
Yeah. Sagara Kanti?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, here he is. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we are now in lesson four. And we're on page 46. If I remember, last time we did in section 3 of this chapter, we did the first three verses. So now we start with Bahum Piche Sahitang Basamano. You have it? Mm-hmm. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll speak first and you recite after me. Bahum piche sahitang basamano.
Bahum piche sahitang basamano.
Na tukaro hoti naro pamato.
Na tukaro hoti naro pamato.
Gopova gavo ganayang paresang.
Gopova gavo ganayang paresang.
Nabhagava samanyasa hoti.
Nabhagava samanyasa hoti.
Okay, so now we go through it word for word. Okay, so bahung means much, many, or much. And pi means although. Sometimes it means also, sometimes although. And che means if. Okay, then the word sahitang means sacred text. This is jingzang, or jingtian. Yeah, jingtian. Basamano is speaking, reciting. And what grammatical form, basamano? Anybody tell me?
Present participle.
Exactly. It's present participle, nominative, singular. Mm-hmm. And so it's based on the verb basati, which means to speak. And so from basati, we drop the T and we put the present participle ending mana. And then to make it masculine, nominative, it becomes mano. Okay, now the word tukaro, it's a little bit, you'll find it difficult to recognize. I don't know if they list it in the glossary. Yeah, they do list it as a doer of, but this is the way the word is constructed. Okay, we have the verb. So we have the verb karoti, which means to do or to act, to make. Then we have this pronoun tat, which actually comes from tongue. It's just the neuter form, that. And then the word that is being joined with kara, which means doer, actor. And so because of the conjunction of sounds, the T and the K, when they meet, then that final T turns into a K. So it becomes takaro, which means literally that doer, doer of that. So in this case, it's a doer of that which is contained in the sacred text, in the scripture. Okay, so this is a case that even though one is a reciter, or even though one is reciting much sacred text, but one is not a doer of it, and then it gives the subject is naro. Naro means a man, or here we could take it more generally as a person. Pamutto. Pamutto is negligent, heedless. So even though one is reciting much sacred text, but the heedless person is not a doer of it, not one who practices it. Then comes the simile. Gopova gavo ganayang paresang. So gopo, we know, means a cowherd. The word go means cow, and pa is a protector. So it means one who protects the cows or a cowherd. Then the V here is an abridgment of Eva. We have that in the glossary. Eva means like, as. Okay, so it's like a cowherd. Then we have gavo. This is plural of the word for cow. So cows. Then ganayang comes from the verb ganeti, which means to count. And what grammatical form is it? Ganayang?
Present participle.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the short present participle. What case?
Nominative singular.
Right. Nominative singular. So this is the short form of the present participle, which is used in verse. The longer form that we would see more in prose would be ganayanto. But in verse, the line has to fit into a meter, a certain fixed, in this case, a certain fixed syllable count. And so they use the short present participle form, ganayang, which means counting. So like a cowherd counting, the cows. And which cows are these? Paresang. Paresang means anybody? Case and number? I think we had it in this in this lesson, I think we
had it.
Who said this? Haitian Fasha. Genitive plural. Very good. Very good. That's correct. Yeah, this is based, you see this.
Page 55.
Yeah, they just mention it at the bottom of page 55. So it gives the form para, and para is declined in the same way as on page 54 we have AK. So it follows that particular model, the model of the pronouns. So paresang is genitive plural, and it means of others. So this is like a cowherd counting the cows of others. Then we have the line, Nabhagava Samanyasa Hoti. Okay, the word Bhagava means, first the word Bhaga means a portion, a share, a section. And then the suffix va indicates possession. The same way we speak about gunava is one who has virtuous qualities. Silava is one who has precepts. We speak about the Buddha as Bhagava, the one who has good fortune. So Bhagava actually looks a little bit like Bhagava, but it's a different word. So Bhagava means one who has a portion, or one who has a share of. And then Samanyasa is based on the word Samana. Samana means an ascetic, a renunciant. And Samanya means, this is the sort of abstract noun based on Samana. Samana is a person who is a renunciant. And Samanyasa means, you could say it, the renunciant life, or even the holy life. And so this is negated with the word na. So one is not a, one does not share in the spiritual life or the holy life. One does not partake of the spiritual life. Ting de dong ma? Hang li fa she ting de dong? Yi dian dian. Hai le fa she kai fa ni? Bang ta ma?
哪里听不懂？
你们先讲吧，我在后面慢慢听。
She said that we can go along and she will catch up later.
Okay, okay.
Because I don't know where she is.
Okay. Tabu chan jia. Fan xing.
Oh, tabu xing fan hen ma?
Kai ma?
Okay.
Bante, can you tell me what number this is in the...
In the Dhammapada?
Yeah.
It's at the end of the chapter one. The first chapter in the Dhammapada.
Oh, I see.
Towards the end.
Yeah, okay.
You have the Dhammapada there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the translation.
Okay, okay. Okay, so putting it all together now. So even though, now I'm taking the whole verse, even though one is reciting much sacred text, if a person is heedless and doesn't practice it, he's not a practitioner of it, then, like a cowherd counting the cows of others, one does not share in the spiritual life, or one is not a, what's a good word? Partaker of the spiritual life. What is the translator use?
Norman writes, although reciting a large number of scriptural texts, if being careless, he does not act accordingly. Like a cowherd counting the cows of others, he has no share in the ascetic's life.
Yeah, okay, the same, yeah. I was trying to get a word that would go with the genitive. So one is not a sharer of the spiritual life, or one is not one who partakes of the spiritual life. But in a sort of translation that's to be good English, then one isn't bound to the cases of the Pali. But I'm trying to match the cases.
I have a question about home. Like, for example, like not Takaro Hoti Naro Hamato. So I know this is probably because he has to put it to a verse.
Right.
And then, but normally we will put Hoti at the end.
Right, that's a good point.
And then they will add a ch between Nataro, ch.
Yeah, this is a good point.
Naro,
yeah. In prose, normally in prose, one would have Hoti at the end. Mm-hmm. So it would say, I think we could say, Pumato Naro. Let's see. Yo Pumato Naro Takaro. Okay. Na takaro pamato naro hoti. And then na samanyasa bhagava hoti. That would be the normal prose order. But here one has to fit into a particular meter, a certain relationship between short syllables and long syllables. And so the word order is changed. Okay, any other questions on this verse? From the internet? Any question? Okay, so then we'll go on to the matching verse. Okay, first I'll recite, then you repeat. Apam piche sahitang ba samano.
Apam piche sahitang ba samano.
Dhammasa hoti anudhammachari.
Dhammasa hoti anudhammachari.
Ragancha dosancha pahaya mohang.
Ragancha dosancha pahaya mohang.
Samapajano suvimutta chito.
Samapajano suvimutta chito.
Anupadiano idavahurangva.
Anupadiano idavahurangva.
Sabhagava samanyasa hoti.
Sabhagava samanyasa hoti.
Okay, so the first line is actually just the exact opposite of the previous verse. So here we have upam, or upa is little, the opposite of bahu, much. So one who is reciting little of the of sacred text, or one who recites few sacred texts. But then we have Dhammasa hoti anudhammachari. Okay, so first we'll take anudhammachari. Okay, now and then we'll take from this first the ending chari. Chari is, I call it a suffix form based on the verb charity. Charity originally means to walk, but then it takes on the meaning to practice, to act. And so chari is one who acts, or a practitioner. And then, of course, we know the word Dhamma, and anudhamma would be in accordance with the Dhamma. Anudhamma would be, Chinese would be sui shun fa, right? Sui shun fa. Okay. And then Dhammasa, of course, is the Dhamma. So this is one, we could say, a practitioner of Dhamma, that's taking chari with Dhammasa, anudhamma, in accordance with the Dhamma. So in other words, this is one who is practicing the Dhamma correctly. So even if one is reciting few sacred texts or a little sacred text, if one is a practitioner of the Dhamma in accordance with the Dhamma, or if one is practicing in harmony with the Dharma. Then we come to Ragancha Dosancha Pahaya Mohang. Okay, first we take Pahaya. What grammatical form is that? Yongxian Fasha?
Gerund,
exactly, right. Excuse me?
Having abandoned, she said.
Exactly, right, very good. So Pahaya is having abandoned. So this is the gerund of the verb pajahati. The normal form. So it's the gerund with the ya ending. Yeah, they don't list pajahati, but they have pahaya here. Okay, so having abandoned. Then we have the three bad roots here. Raga is lust, dosa, hatred, moha, delusion. And then we have the word samapajano. Yeah, they give fully comprehending one, I would say clearly comprehending one, or rightly comprehending. And then this is, I think I mentioned last time, an unusual or a rather rare type of present participle form. I think they mentioned this in the grammar. Yeah, on page 53 in section 4.2, they say, the form samapajano, which occurs in this lesson, is also actually an irregular middle present participle of sama plus pajanati, fully understands or comprehends. So the regular middle present participle would be sama pajamano. You don't see it here, but that would be pajamano, you know, with the mano ending. Mm-hmm. But this is a more concise form, pujano, sama pujano. So sama means rightly, correctly, and pujano means understanding. So one who is rightly understanding, and then we have suvi mutta chito. So the base of this word is, of course, the word citta. Citta means mind. And then vimutta is originally a past participle. Then it's joined to citta to make liberated mind. And then su is an intensifier. So we could say like well liberated or fully liberated. But now, this is an important point. The word suvi mutta citta by itself would mean a fully liberated mind, but citta is a neuter noun, right? So if it were referring to a fully liberated mind, then you would have suvi mutta cittang. Why do we have suvi mutta citto?
Adjective? Used as an adjective?
Yeah, that's correct. There's another word that I wanted to have. You're on the right track. Make the word adjective an adjective itself. What do you get? adjectival. So what is the word that will come after adjectival? You should get it. Luck su vimutta citta. Right, exactly. It's what we call an adjectival compound. Okay, so Sufi Mutta Chitang means a well or fully liberated mind, but now this becomes. Sorry, girls, but this is the standard in Pali. It becomes a masculine singular, referring to one with a fully liberated mind. So it's an adjectival compound. It's describing the person with such a mind. Of course, it's implied that the mind is fully liberated, but the reason it's a masculine singular is because it's referring to the person with a fully liberated mind. One with a fully liberated mind. Okay, we're going to go through, you know, word by word, then I'll put it all together to make, just see how everything fits together. Okay, so now coming to the next line, we have unupadiano. So this is first the grammatical form. What is the grammatical form? Okay. Venerable Satchinanda says present participle. Have you thought, did you do Pali in Bangladesh, Venerable Satchinanda?
Monday?
Did you study Pali in Bangladesh?
No, I studied in Burma.
In Burma?
And
okay.
And
okay, in Thailand. But I want to test the students here. You know, who are sort of progressing gradually. So you could keep a little quiet. I don't want to deflect any credit away from you, but we have to keep the students here on their toes. Otherwise, if you give all of the answers, they'll get lazy. Okay, so if anybody didn't hear what he said and wants to say what it is, but maybe you all heard.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a present participle.
Wait, I didn't hear. It's a present participle.
It's a present participle, okay. And it's a negative present participle because it has the un, and so it's based on the verb upadeyati. Should I write the verb, the regular verb?
It's in the glossary.
Okay, you look it up in the glossary. Upadeyati, which means to cling. And then from upadeyati, we get also the noun upadana, clinging or grasping. And then this is the negation of the present participle, unupadiano. So this means not clinging. Then ida va hurangva. We frequently meet this contrast in the suttas. Ida means here, referring to this world, and hurang means beyond, to the existence, the afterlife, the next world. So this is not clinging, we could say, to anything here or in the world beyond. So here is a shorter form of the pronoun so, he or that one, bhagava, again, one who partakes of, one who has a share of sammanyasa, the spiritual life, the ascetic life. Okay, so that's the word for word explanation. But now we put it all together. So, starting with the first line, so even if one is, even if one is reciting little sacred texts, sacred scripture. But one is a practitioner of Dhamma in accordance with Dhamma. Or if one is a practitioner in harmony with the Dharma, having abandoned lust and hatred and delusion. And here this is irregular word order, again because of the meter. Usually one would have, say, ragancha, dosancha, mohan, pahaya. But to fit the meter, the word order is changed. So having abandoned lust and hatred and delusion, Swan, Tan. Chan? Chan? Yu? Or Chi? Yeah. Okay. Samapajano, rightly understanding, well liberated in mind, not clinging here or beyond. One is a partaker of the spiritual life. Ding the dong. Okay. How? Yo, Shema, one team? Any questions? June? Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. No questions today. Okay, so let's go on to the next. Actually, the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses all follow the same pattern. So these should go pretty quickly. Okay, I'll recite and you repeat after me. Piyato jayati soko.
Piyato jayati soko.
Piyato jayati bhayang.
Piyato jayati bhayang.
Piyato vipamutasa.
Piyato vipamutasa.
Nati soko kuto bhayang. Okay, so piyato, anybody know the grammatical form or the case?
Ablative?
Right, this is a special kind of ablative. You know, it's not the ablative that we come across in the regular declension system, but the to ending is an additional ablative form. So it means from, and then piya means what is dear. So from what is dear, then jayati means arises or is born. And then we have soko is sorrow. So you putting the nominative first, sorrow is born from what is dear. Then we have piyato jayati bhayang. Bhaya means fear. So fear is born from what is dear. Then we have piyato vipamutasa. Vipamutasa means for one freed from, or from for one freed, and then it's going with the ablative, piyato, for one freed from what is dear, nati soko, that means there is no sorrow, then kuto is in an interrogative form, which means whence, from where, or we could say how then, bhaya, how then fear. Okay, so sorrow is born from what is dear. Fear is born from what is dear. For one freed from what is dear, there is no sorrow. How then is there fear? Okay, then the next verses, we don't have to go through line by line. The next verse just substitutes the word pema. Pema means affection, in the sense of, you know, worldly affection or attachment, you could say. Rati is delight in the sense of sensual delight. Kama is sensual desire. And tanha is craving. So all of these verses have the same structure. So if you didn't have any question on the first verse, any questions on these? Okay, so in that case, then we finish the basic readings. So now we can go over to the further readings.
What is the meaning of ratiya?
Okay, ratiya is just the ablative form of rati. Rati, let's see what meaning they give here. Rati, they give love, attachment, but it's more delight. Sometimes rati is used in a positive sense. You know, it's like a spiritual delight. That would be niramisa rati, spiritual delight. But often it's just used in the sense of sensual delight. And then ratiya is the ablative case following the word. Rati is, I think it's a feminine noun. So it's being declined according to the model of the feminine nouns with the short I ending. And tanha is also a feminine noun, which is declined according to the model of the feminine long A nouns. So that's why you get tanhaya. So for the masculine or neuter nouns, they use the to form of the ablative. And then the feminine nouns, rati and tanha, are declined according to their own, the feminine ablative model. Okay, then let's go over to page 56. These are the further readings for lesson 4.
Can you tell us what sutra it is from Anguttara Nikaya?
These verses?
Yeah, from 56.
On page 56?
Yes.
These will be from the Anguttara Nikaya Book of Twos, probably. I actually had sent everybody the text in which I put the Sutta, actually the Sutta references. It should be in an old email that I sent out. Okay, so let's first read and then we'll give the explanation. So everybody on further readings, this first section, Dve Ma Bhikkhave Parisa.
Dve Ma Bhikkhave Parisa.
Oh, Kim just arrived. Okay, good afternoon, Kim.
Good afternoon, Bhante.
Okay, we just finished the basic readings and we just started the further readings on page 56.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do it again. Dve ma bhikkhave parisa.
Dve ma bhikkhave parisa.
Katama dve.
Katama dve.
Uttana cha parisa.
Uttana cha parisa.
Gambira cha parisa.
Gambira cha parisa.
Okay, so this is a numbered item. So we have dve, is two. And then we have the pronoun ima. Ima is these. And ima is what gender? Hi, Renfasha.
It is
what noun is it qualifying?
The bikkare.
No.
Ima.
Ima.
Ima? Yes?
I'm asking, what noun is it qualifying?
Dve.
No.
Padisa, padisa.
That's the only word left. Okay, and what gender is parisa?
Parisa is masculine. I mean, feminine.
There are only two genders involved. Well, actually, there's three, but it couldn't be neuter. Okay, so it's feminine. So ima is what gender?
Feminine.
Right. So ima is these, it's plural, feminine, going with parisa. Parisa is assembly. And so literally we have here two, word for word, it's two these, O monks, assemblies. And what happens, we have dve meeting ima. Ima is these. And so when dve and ima come together, that I drops out, so it becomes dvema. And in normal English, of course, we would say maybe ima dve, these two. And also that would be the pattern in ordinary prose, Pali. But this is a little bit like elevated way of speaking. A little bit like Duangyan, you know, adorned or elegant style. So it's, well, the meaning is these two, O monks, assemblies. And in normal English, we would have to wear there are. So there are, O monks, these two assemblies. Then we have katama dve, which two, and what case and gender is katama? Hi, Renfasha.
Feminine.
Gender?
Case, gender.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, the gender is feminine, the case?
Dative. From this assembly?
No. Stephen?
Genitive?
No. Carolyn?
Instrumental?
No.
Young
Shin Fasher?
Adjective?
No. Katama. What case? Case and gender? No. No. I know why you're misled, but thinking it's ablative.
Interrogative.
Kim?
Interrogative.
It's interrogative, but what case and gender?
Is that interrogative pronoun?
It's an interrogative pronoun, but the case and gender.
Would that be nominative?
Right, it's nominative. And the gender?
Feminine.
Right, feminine. Nominative feminine. Why is it nominative? Why is it feminine?
Because it's talking about parisa.
Right, because it's speaking about parisa. Parisa assemblies is a feminine noun. So he's asking, what to? There's no scope here for any case because he's not setting up any relationship between items. He's just saying, There are two assemblies. What two? Now I have a tricky question. Katama is feminine. What case is dve? I'm sorry. Excuse me. What gender? What gender is dve?
It has to be feminine, right?
Okay. Kim says feminine. Carolyn says
masculine.
How could it be masculine?
I remember there's a number counting until a certain number. It's a one gender, and after that is another, right?
You're very close. Okay, I think Venerable Sagarananda. No, he got the point that the number two does not is not distinguished by way of gender. Yeah, for some reason, numbers one, number three, number four are distinguished by gender, but number two, and then from number five upwards. So if you look on page 55, this is 7.4. Dvi, two, does not distinguish gender. It has the following case forms. Then the nominative accusative is dve. And then for the other numerals, it says that the remaining numerals, that's from five up, do not have different gender forms. So from just from five all the ways up till we get, I think, when you get to the hundreds, thousands, they start taking on gender forms again. I don't know why. Okay, so we have, the question is, what two, in other words, what are the two assemblies? Then we have the answer comes, Uttana cha parisa. So Uttana means, in this case, shallow assembly, and Gambira. Gambira is the deep assembly. And what case is Uttana and Gambira? Excuse me?
Adjective? Case?
Well, adjective is a grammatical form.
Yeah.
But it's the case that I'm asking about.
The case would be...
Accusative?
No.
It's nominative, because here he's just mentioning, he's not setting up any relationship between the terms. He's just enumerating them. So in simple enumeration, the nominative would be used. So it's the shallow assembly and the deep assembly. Okay, so now he's going to explain what these two assemblies are. So we take first, I'll recite and then you repeat. Katama cha bhikkhave uttana parisa.
Katama cha bhikkhave uttana parisa.
Then comes the answer. Ida bhikkhave.
Ida bhikkhave.
Yasang parisayang.
Yasang parisayang.
Bhikkhu udatta hunti.
Bhikkhu udatta hunti.
Unala.
Unala.
Chapala.
Chapala.
Mukara.
Mukara.
Vikina vacha.
Vikina vacha.
Asampajana.
Asampajana.
Asamahita.
Asamahita.
Vibhantachita.
Vibhantachita.
Pakat Indriya.
Pakat Indriya.
And Ayang Vuchati.
Ayang Vuchati.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Uttana Parisa.
Uttana Parisa.
Okay, so first he raises the question, and what, O monks, is the shallow assembly? Okay, so then he starts, Ida means here. It's just a way of opening a sentence. Here, O monks, then yasang parisayang, Can you identify the case? Don't worry about the pronoun. Take look at the parisayam. Right. See who has it. It's the locative. So it's in which or in whichever assembly. Because if you go back, you look at the declension of the feminine nouns in the long A. Yeah, page 18, you have using the word sala as the model. So for the locative, you have either salaya or salayang. So this follows in the same way, parisa, parisayang. So in which assembly? Excuse me? You talking to me? Kim?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So in which assembly the monks udatta, this is related to the noun, you know, udaccha, restlessness, one of the five hindrances. So udatta is like restless. They give arrogant or, they give unbalanced, disturbed, agitated. So agitated or restless.
It says bombast, B-O-M-B-A-S-T.
I think that's for.
Bombast.
What?
This is Tanisara Bhikkhu's translation.
Oh, I see. I would put udatta more to be agitated or restless. But I think that maybe it has two nuances. One is something like bombastic or a proud, sort of arrogant. But it's also, it's related to, it's the personal adjective going with the noun udatta. So it could be taken as agitated. Unala, I think, is, this is given here in the glossary, is arrogant, proud, showing off. That's like bombastic. Then chapala is, again, similar to restless. Let's see what meaning they give. Unsteady, fickle, unsteady, dongxin. Dongxin? I don't know. You could use that, yeah. Well, there are better Chinese words.
must have come up with a
yeah,
good word.
Okay. Mukara means talkative. Yeah, they give garrulous, noisy, talkative. Vikina vacha. Vacha is speech, and vikina is something like scattered. So scattered speech, talking about this, talking about that. And then usampajana, that means the absence of, you know, sampajanya means clear comprehension. So sampajana is one with clear comprehension, and usampajana means one without clear comprehension. Bujuda, I think. The
I'm
Chinese?
Sorry,
Bujuda. Not understanding, not knowing.
Yeah.
Understanding, knowing.
Bu明白的. Okay. Okay. Usamahita. That means without samadhi, unconcentrated. Then vibhanta chitta. It's also similar. Chitta here is mind. And vibhanta is wandering. Mm-hmm. So with wandering minds. And here again we have vibhanta citta. This is another adjectival compound. So here, if you're speaking about the mind itself, you would say vibhanta cittani, wandering minds. But here it becomes a compound describing the monks. And so it becomes masculine, nominative, masculine plural. So vibhanta citta. Then pocket indriya means, here the indriya means the sense faculties. And usually the monk is supposed to be sangvut indriya, which means one with the faculties restrained, one who's under sort of, you know, who has restraint over the eyes and ears. So pocket indriya means something like, well, the meaning they give here is good in the glossary. Except they give uncontrolled mind, but it's better with uncontrolled faculties. So those with uncontrolled faculties. Okay, so putting it all together now. So he's saying, and what is the shallow assembly here, O monks, in whichever assembly the monks are restless, unala was arrogant or proud, chapala, similar to fickle, you could say, also restless, mukara, talkative, vikina vacha, with scattered speech, uncontrolled speech, without clear understanding, without samadhi, with wandering minds, and with uncontrolled faculties. This is called, O monks, the shallow assembly. Clear? Any questions?
I have a question, but
yeah.
So in the first triplet, when we had katama dve, is that katama plural or singular?
It's plural. It's plural because it has to go with dve.
The next katama is singular.
Actually, that's a good point. In raising the question about uttana parisa, then it's singular. Because
okay.
Katama is both singular and plural.
Got it. Thank you.
Let's say it's feminine singular, but it's either feminine or masculine plural. They look the same, the masculine and feminine plural. Okay, so let's, we could do quickly the Gambhira Parisa. Okay, so what? Oh, so we don't have to recite it. We'll just go through. So the next paragraph. Okay, and what, O monks, is the deep assembly? And then this is just the opposite of that. Here, O monks, in whichever assembly the monks are not restless. Anunala, not proud, not arrogant. Achapala, not agitated, not fickle. Amukara, not talkative. Avikinavacha, not with scattered speech. Sampajana, clearly comprehending. Samahita, with collected minds, with samadhi. Then instead of vibhanta citta, we have ekagga citta. That would be literally one with one-pointed minds, or with unified minds. And then we have, yeah, this was the form, sangvut indriya, with restrained faculties. And again, ekagachita, sangvut indriya, are adjectival compounds. You know, the subject here, it's not the citta and the indriya, but the citta and the indriya are used in the compound to describe the monks. So this is called ayang vuchati bhikkave gambira parisa. So this is called, O monks, the deep assembly. And then we end with ima ko bhikkave dve parisa. See, here we have the normal order. These, ima coming first. So these, O monks, are the two assemblies. Yeah.
I wonder why the Buddha uses the word shallow versus deep assemblies. What does that really mean?
It refers to the quality of the mind. If the shallow, because the monks are restless and talkative and uncontrolled, so the mind remains just at the superficial level. It's not able to go, you know, down deep into states of concentration and insight. Whereas in the case where the monks are not restless and overly talkative, but mindful, restrained, and so on, then the minds can go into concentration and insight.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, it's 2:10, so let's take a 10-minute break. Then we come back 2:20 and continue. Do you want to stay through to three, or do you?
I'm not so sure. I'm right at that, actually.
Yeah, of course, I think if you want to miss the traffic.
Yeah.
At the end.
That's right.
I wanted to get you that book, but I'll go,
the verb is at the
we'll
end.
Go over in that direction. Like the, I'll get it from my room and give it to you.
Right now?
Yeah, we can do it now.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's just 2 minutes there and 2 minutes back.
Like a meter?
You can take those papers if you want. Maybe inspire you.
How is the poly scene?
How's your mom?
She's doing good.
Wow, oh. Definitely.
She's
jumping in. That's great.
She was here for the house hold retreat.
Yeah.
As I remember, I saw her almost every day.
It's starting, I think, Friday, rather Monday.
What are you doing? She's working quite a bit in the kitchen, it seems like.
Yeah, so Hai Tian? Venerable Hai Tian asked whether she could come in.
Yeah.
That's great.
Send you that too.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Sorry, I had some results already from the four measurables.
You have results already? What are the? Can you tell me the result?
Some people are mad at me for gaming.
Some people that are mad at you for
gaming. We're mad.
Oh.
I thought, oh, yeah, that's good.
That's great. My general conclusion was that my samadhi stinks.
I think for all of, well, I don't know you, but for me, most of the time I would just struggle.
Do you ever have this thought? Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm, quote, meditating, and I'm thinking, am I meditating or am I just sitting here? How do I know when I'm meditating and not just sitting here? And then I think this is not a good way of thinking.
Yeah, but I guess so. Yeah.
Oh boy. I didn't even really try equanimity at all.
This is your
Second?
Of this retreat? The first time at this panel. I went to a metta retreat, only metta. That was like better for me because it was so, it was kind of basic. So this is sort of more advanced. Because trying to do all four. Actually, the first three were okay, but when it came to equanimity, it's like my brain shut off. I didn't even understand the point. Like, so I just kind of didn't try.
Well,
I guess this from what we heard from the Q&A sections, a lot of people, especially for the first timer, they have a similar experience, I guess.
No, think not the
like
right.
What the
interesting definition.
Said, because we're so used to this positive and negative feelings.
No,
like good or bad feelings.
No,
but sometimes we don't know we have this. It's a neutral feeling.
Right, but I think it's hard to separate the neutral feelings from the kind of what we call blasé feeling, like we just don't really care, like whatever.
But that is, to my understanding, that's that
waiting.
I don't care.
Yes.
That's bad feelings. Because I can sense that some unease or
some kind of aversion there. I don't even want to think about it. Whatever.
Yeah. That's a negative.
I think you're right. Yeah,
so when a monk speaks for himself, does he use mama?
Mama.
You're able to stay in that neutral feeling. It's almost like you're not, but in a good way.
Nama, this way. It's sort of hard to imagine.
You have like fall to sleep and not fall to sleep. And then you're like,
it would not have a characteristic of male or female.
It's just like,
it's like when I was told once that Vedana, you know, good, bad, or neutral, that true neutral is only even possible in like sort of a higher jhana situation.
Oh, I'm excited to. I'm excited.
I don't know how it could be in everyday life. So much information is coming at you.
Feelings, even for someone
it's
who don't
difficult the same
develop
mama
Kemet
thing.
For someone who has Kemet
thing,
Kemet
thing, I'm looking for
concentration.
Waiting on stage.
Kemet
thing
means still feel what
looking forward. Looking forward to it.
It's not necessary that you have to go to
because a mama doesn't use the same kind of
right. Well, it seems like a lot of things we're totally indifferent to.
For
sometimes it's tricky.
So when the monk speaks of himself, he uses the special verb for monk?
No, you can see. Mama is up. Mama is okay.
What about the verb? I can say kanawa. But the lay people can call the monk.
Mama,
I don't
know.
Very strong. Sure.
It's actually very simple.
Of course, like there's people in this class who I kind of have a neutral feeling. I'm not thinking like, oh, they're so great or they're terrible. I don't really think about it. But it seems different from encountering somebody in our life. And having an interaction with them, and then also having this kind of neutral. I mean, in other words, it seems easier to be neutral to things kind of that are on our periphery of our consciousness.
I don't know whether you have this feeling. For example, if somebody can bump into somebody who was asking you for a direction, you can either have compassion or hope you might know us.
Right.
Or I can just do whatever.
Harming is
right.
Gahanawa.
Gahanawa is
keeping. Right, but how about having an equanimity towards global warming?
But that's okay. That's
something else.
And most of us
first time it's really hard.
I mean, Izumi is so almost, it seems like sometimes, why would you want it? Like something you should be sort of impassionate about.
The Kanawa is very useful.
Like you really, for example,
if I were a parent, I have to have that mental
equality to
you agree
equanimity. But how about if they're going to do something dangerous? You don't want to be like, well, I guess it could be okay. No, you want to react.
But the thing is that we cannot control them 24/7 or throughout their whole life.
Right.
At certain points, we have to, you know, keep this distance to become. Not saying that we don't care for them, but it's just like we have to. We can only do so much. Sometimes we have to, you know. Almost like observe, although we have.
It's the fact that the mind is, to me, to my understanding, it's just like at that very moment,
you might have equanimity, but at the previous moment, you might have compassion. The mind can go really quick, right? Compassion, and then you somehow, if that compassion and mind wouldn't work, I have to switch to some kind of mode. So that could be another mode in certain circumstances or situation which helps. Especially, I don't want to come to I know, if I, for example, if I want to teach this young person, and then although I really want to help him out, but through compassion and meditation, I know his personality. And I know that eventually he has to figure out himself.
Right, the non-attachment
control.
Well, definitely
the desire of control. Some people.
Yeah. I mean, definitely non-equanimity, whatever that's called. Does that have a word? Attachment. It seems like it is attachment. Right?
Also,
but you really care about. But is it the same as sort of caring about the results? Like you're caring about the results. Like if you take a test, you're kind of wanting to do well. You don't have to be like, well, I guess if I get a 40 or 80, it's okay.
No, of course not. So that's the reason why we need four.
Right? Yeah.
One alone cannot solve all the problems, mostly. This mundane world.
Right.
I guess we need all four.
We have to have this array of
tools. Otherwise, sometimes for example, my mom used to care for me so much, and then
I think
she's passionate at the moment. But
yes,
you know, at the end, I feel a lot of pressure because she wanted to say, oh, I want to do this because I think this is good for me. Yes, she might be right, but you know, from her past experience, he might see, she might have seen this person because he do this, do that, and she wanted me to follow the path. But the thing is, we're totally different people. I cannot exactly copy other people's successful story to mine.
Right.
So for you know. So I guess we need to have this.
I think what you also said was that there are different kinds of equanimity. There's sort of a more higher equanimity, and there's more mundane equanimity.
I don't know about the theory, but from my experience, that's the only thing I can.
It's definitely very interesting.
Yeah. But don't feel discouraged. You're just
I'm not discouraged.
But you sound like you're, oh, I don't know what's talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about, but it's okay. I have equanimity about it.
Yeah. There you go.
It's enlightened acceptance.
have it available, Hai Tian.
Again, in office.
Went to the things to raise some money power.